Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
17-14 is the final. One touchdown, we are world champions. Believe it, and it will happen.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com and the Giants mobile app. We are only 2 days from draft day. Of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. Mm-hmm. I am John Schmelk, joined by the man in the middle, Howard Cross. We're squeezing in. We're getting very up close and personal with Howard here. Lance Meadow on the end. We'll be taking your calls at 201-939-4513. So I want to do a three-man booth today because we haven't really gone through some of the trait chart stuff here and figuring out what kind of deals that could be on the table for the Giants as they decide what they want to do at six, and they even have some second-round machinations here for you guys as well. All right. Okay. So you guys ready me to throw some stuff at you to see what you think?
Throw it.
Sure.
All right, here we go. We're going to start here. Giants at number six. First two players get picked to quarterbacks. The Patriots decide, well, those are the two quarterbacks we liked. We want to get out.
Okay.
All right. Your favorite quarterback, and like whoever it is for you two guys, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, whoever you guys like most at quarterback is sitting there at three. And it's whoever the Giants like most at quarterback do. They think he's going to be a really, really dominant NFL player for a long time. So the Patriots give you a call, and they say, all right, well, here's what we need. A couple years ago, back in the year they drafted Sam Darnold, so more than a couple now, The Jets had to trade three second-round picks to move up three spots. I believe it was from six to three.
Mm-hmm.
They traded pick 37, 49, and a future second. So I tried to make that make sense for the Giants here because they don't have two twos this year to move, right?
Nope.
So you have to adjust that in some way, shape, or form. So to swap from three to six down to three, the Giants would obviously trade number six. They would trade a 2025 first-round pick. And you would trade your third-round pick this year, pick number 70. That would be move up three spots from six to three. Would you guys consider and or do that trade?
Go ahead, Lance.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, I definitely want you to go
first. Well, they don't have a lot of picks to begin with this year, so I'd be a bit skeptical of surrendering resources because I think that they have a bunch of needs across the board, not necessarily just one player. And Joe Shane, remember, even said they're not one or two players away from becoming a finished product. So I would shy away. And also, I'm not a believer that every team, including the Giants, likes three quarterbacks deep worth of prospects to say if two go, that we think the third is equivalent to the other individuals that are already
taken. Well, no, again, but I'm already answering that part of the question. I'm telling you the quarterback that's left is the one that you like and you want.
I mean, if even if that's the case, I'd still be skeptical under those circumstances.
Okay, fair enough.
I'd pass on that.
Okay.
If it's somebody they think that they really, really want, if it was the guy that they thought like was the best quarterback, if they thought the kid from LSU was the best quarterback in the draft, or even Drake May, if they thought that that was their guy and they wish they could get him, I wouldn't give up the draft picks for him.
You wouldn't?
No. You just don't have enough guys. You know, you're trying to backfield your offensive line right now. You brought in a couple guys with your offensive line. You got yourself a pass rusher. You're still going to need some help at corner. You're still going to need some help probably at safety. You're still going to need some help on the outside at receiver. You probably need another offensive lineman or a defensive lineman in the middle. if you give up two or three picks, it's just not enough. You're just not going to have enough guys, and you'll never get to see the return on you drafting that quarterback.
That's fair enough. You're only moving one pick this year, so mm-hmm. you're maintaining the majority of your pick load, which is why I tried to kind of set it up this way. But fine, I would consider making that trade for the right player. All right, trade option number two. That quarterback somehow gets to number five.
Okay.
And the Chargers say, you know what? We're willing to just do a little bit of a move here. We're just going to slide back one spot. We have other offers from the Vikings and the Broncos, but you know what? We don't want to get out of the top six. We want to stay in the top six. We're just going to move down one spot, but we want to get a little bit of a bonus to stick and pick here, okay?
Okay.
So they're going to say, all right, to move up one spot, all you got to do is trade us the 70th pick with your third round pick, your fifth round pick, and a third rounder next year. That's identical to what the Bears traded to move up, or close to it. The Bears traded a third rounder, two third rounders, the 111th pick, and a future third to move up one spot in 2017.
I'll go first, Lance. The story is still the same. You don't have enough picks. You don't have enough guys. The only way to do this is that if you trade for future picks. You can't trade this year's picks, because if you're trying to fill the team this year, let's say things go remarkably well this year, then you have picks for the following year. That sounds great. Let's say things don't go well this year, and you've given away some of your picks to field your team. Mm-hmm. You don't have any depth in a lot of positions. It's just you're just in a bad, tight spot.
Lance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Howard. It's the same philosophy that I gave in the previous trade scenario. Plus, you know, the other thing that I think is a good talking point in this exercise is the 2021 NFL quarterback draft class. Zach Wilson was traded the other day. So think about Trevor Lawrence is the only guy left standing. And we're only 3 years removed from that draft. And two teams moved up, Howard, to grab quarterbacks.
Yeah, but these guys are different. Trey Lance didn't play a snap.
Well, yeah, he was a one-year starter.
Yeah, he was a one-year almost starter. He was a COVID starter.
Sure.
So, yeah, no. I never thought Zach Wilson, no offense to him, nice kid, never thought he was a great player. Came out of a school that didn't play against anybody, didn't put up any numbers, that crazy numbers against competition.
And BYU, of course.
And the first time they played against him was Eastern Carolina or Coastal somebody.
Coastal Carolina.
And when they played against him, he got rocked. And I mean, he couldn't read coverages.
It was a low scoring game.
It wasn't a game where he could control. So right away, you're picking guys. The problem with quarterbacks, because they're so valuable, they touch the ball every time. You overevaluate them every year.
Yep.
These guys this year are a little bit different. Williams, good player. Daniels just won the Heisman. He's phenomenal athlete. Great release. Good deep ball. Plays well from the pocket. Has the ability to get outside. Reminds me of a young Randall Cunningham. Drake May, kind of. If you had to give him a comparison, I don't know. Maybe the guy out in San Diego. Maybe the guy in Buffalo. He's just a big kid.
Phillip Rivers, you talking about?
No.
Herbert.
Justin Herbert, okay. Well, you said San Diego.
I'm sorry.
That's why. I was going a little bit old school.
Dan Fouts, actually.
A little Dan Fouts. But, you know, he has a couple decent comparisons, but, you know, is he going to be that good? You know, again, when you watch guys against the toughest competition and see how they do it, you know, complex defenses, you know, sometimes it's the scheme, it's the coaching. They may not be prepared for it. And then sometimes it's, you know, just that's who they are.
Okay, so I think I have one that you guys might like now, okay? Because now we're getting into the trade down territory. I have a lot of these. So let's see which one of these you like best. I'll give one in a group. This one's a little bit separate, though. All right, so you get the six, and four quarterbacks go in the first four picks, let's say. The Vikings or Broncos or somebody moves up to four. Mm-hmm. Chargers pick Marvin Harrison Jr., let's say, okay?
Okay.
So Giants are sitting at six. The Bears call you from nine, and they say, Malik Nabers is the top player on our board. We have him ranked higher than Marvin Harrison Jr. We have to have Malik Nabers. So to slide down to nine, the Bears, who only have four draft picks, by the way. So I don't know if this is going to work for them, but they're going to offer you their third round pick and their fourth round pick. You have to trade back to them your sixth round pick. So you're picking up an extra three. You're picking up an extra four, but you're giving up your six. So you're picking up pick 75. You're picking up pick 122, and you're sending out pick 183. And you're swapping pick six for pick nine. Would that be a trade you guys would be interested in?
So the four quarterbacks are gone. Whoever the fourth guy is, you know, is gone.
Well, let's say it's J.J. McCarthy or somebody like
let's
that.
Let's say it's McCarthy.
Number five would be Marvin Harrison Jr. would be gone off the board. So they're moving up probably to get Malik Nabers, which would leave.
Or Dunze, potentially.
Yeah, or Dunze. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now you leave Big Joe coming in at seven.
Yes, that would be the assumption.
Number eight, you're leaving
The thought is that the Falcons might take a defensive player, but I wouldn't be surprised if a team tried to move up to that spot to get another one of the receivers, which is the risk here.
Or Atlanta could give Kirk Cousins another offensive weapon.
Yeah. That's true.
So you got eight. So you got, I think you get Dallas, turn out Alabama, and then nine you have
the Giants. That's what they would pick with the Bears.
Then nine you would have the tight end Bowers, from Georgia. Yeah. You'd have another one of the receivers. You'd either have Nabers or
Odunze. Unless one of those guys go at eight, which is not impossible.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You're doing a calculated risk of possibly trading out of one of the receivers. You have Bowers as a backstop. You have, you know, maybe you like one of the other offensive tackles a lot, you know, Fashanu, someone like that. Mm-hmm. So you do have a backstop there, but you might be trading out of Nabers and Odunze, depending on what happens at 7 and 8.
I think you would do it because, and the reason why you would do it, because you pick up, you said, a third and a fourth?
Third and a fourth. You will be getting pick number 75 and pick 122.
Yeah, you could probably backfill a couple of other positions with that. Probably offensive line if you needed to. Probably DB. There are some DBs that are going to be coming in that part of the draft.
Yeah. And defensive tackle also.
Yeah, defensive tackle. You might be able to get the guy, you know, probably one of the Texas guys that will probably fall.
Or one of the LSU kids too, the Mason Smith and Makai Wingo.
So yeah, there's a lot of guys you could pick up.
All right, so Howard's in on that one. Mm-hmm. Lance, how about you?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it because I mean I disagree with Howard from the perspective of I don't think the gain of a third and fourth is worth giving up. Who's going to be the potential game changer by dropping from 6 to 9? Meaning the first round pick, the chances of that player having a bigger impact than the third and the fourth rounder is higher. So I wouldn't roll the dice to give up Nabers or Odunze simply to gain extra depth on the roster, especially for an offense that has to score more points.
I understand what you're saying, but like if you have some high-grade players, like everybody's talking about how the draft is like top-heavy. Like you may have a few guys that you have in your sights that you could use at that spot. And remember, if you get two extra spots, you could also move up to get somebody else you might want.
Yeah, you could package something.
Yeah,
certainly.
The more picks you have, the more ways you can move.
No, and I agree with you. But Howard, if we add to this hypothetical, if you were aware of the Giants' draft board and you know that after Odunze and Nabers, because we're talking about Harrison's off the board, that there's a significant drop off in how the Giants value offensive weapons, specifically at the wide receiver spot, regardless of the depth, meaning. We're talking about there are many layers
so basically
to the
after,
next group.
So after Nabers and Odunze, the next offensive, let's say they're your 6th and 7th players on your board. Your next guy is like past 15th is basically what you're telling
exactly.
me.
Exactly, yeah.
And that would be maybe Bowers or Brian Thomas Jr.
And I think Bowers is more of a luxury pick, in my opinion, for the Giants. Even though Waller we don't know about, I still think it's a luxury pick given what they have on the roster. So you throw all that in.
See, this is a great conversation. Pearson, this I wanted to do this. This is
and
great.
And I know I'm getting you to ponder and think.
Mm-mm.
No? Okay, you're just dismissing it. Then that's fine. My signals are being misread.
Again. Yes. Right now we have Daniel Jones as quarterback. Mm-hmm. We don't know how healthy Daniel's going to be. We hope he's going to be great. We hope he's going to be awesome. We're going to need more people to fill the roster in case.
And I'm with you there.
In case he's not healthy. A great receiver with no one to throw him the ball. Is just a great receiver running the route.
Okay.
Well, but remember, you're not picking for just 2024, Howard. You're picking that guy to have an impact for the duration of the rookie contract. I think you're thinking more small window. I'm thinking the window stays up a little bit longer and the flies and the bees and everybody else.
So funny. So Howard's a little smaller here and Lance is a little bit bigger, which is, I think, a little odd.
I think it's also odd that Lance is thinking about. I think about like how I, as a coaching staff, take care of myself. That's what I'd be doing. I'm trying to build a team as quickly as possible so I can show progress and show that I've moved forward with the team and I've done some things to lift it up. I draft this receiver and I can't use him or he doesn't get used properly or he's just not whatever, then people will start sitting around talking about it. It'd be a lot like drafting Saquon. We love Saquon. Saquon's an awesome player. Saquon was great. We won one playoff game with Saquon.
Well, I'm not disputing that, but Saquon's gone and Waller could potentially be gone, Howard. So even if Daniel's healthy, you still need another playmaker.
So then the tight end comes back in play.
So I am going to interrupt here to Howard's point. If you think that Waller's not going to be back one way or the other, I don't have Bowers and Odunze's grades that far different from my board. I don't think much separates those two guys. Now, I'd rather have the wide receiver than the tight end. You have the cost savings at the position.
Well, and that's where I stand, yeah.
That's part of it. So I would pick Odunze before I pick Bowers. I think I might have a little higher grade on Bowers than Odunze. Because of position value, I would pick Odunze ahead of him, right? But to pick up the two extra picks, and I could still get... And Bowers is my consolation prize. And I still have a decent shot, by the way, of getting... And you know what? Maybe what happens if you can say to Atlanta, all right, you want to move back one spot? We'll just send you the four we just got from Chicago. You can pick the same player you want to pick at nine. You move down at eight. You pick up a four. Mm-hmm. You still get one of the receivers, and you get a bonus third-round pick to boot. So this trade I would theoretically think about. All right, here's three.
The only thing I'll just add is you don't know if Atlanta is willing to do that once you make that other trade.
Well, you would have to have that conversation beforehand.
You would absolutely. But they may tell you it depends on who gets selected in between before
that's
we select.
True.
So
right.
there's a lot of caveats
you
potentially
would,
connected
you,
to
you
it.
You would have to have that conversation
you'd have
ahead
to.
Of time.
You'd have
they're probably having these conversations now.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, they probably are. Or they've already had them, to be quite honest.
The combine,
all right. So then you have quarterback alley, all right? Here's scenario number, this would be four, right? Mm-hmm. McCarthy gets to six. The Giants decide, we don't think he's worth the sixth pick in the draft. We're willing to move out here. Arizona said, nah, we need Marvin Harrison. Jim Harbaugh said, you know, stuff Joe Ortiz in a closet and said, I'm picking Joe Alt, I want my offensive lineman. And J.J. McCarthy's sitting there at six. Charlie tries to break into the building. He gets arrested because he tries to force the Giants to take a quarterback, but they throw him into Rikers, and we don't hear from him for a couple of months. Then you have three teams calling the Giants. I'm going to give you three separate offers. Let me know if any
Alcatraz
of these interest
may be better than Rikers. I just want to throw that out because that's on the other coast, though.
All right,
so.
That's fair. That's a good point. Here we go. Vikings. This is a simple one. They're going to send you picks 11 and 23. You can haggle with them, and you either have to send back your two or three. To make the points work on the board, to go from 6 to 11. So you're trading 6, you're getting 11, you're getting 23, and I'll even be generous. You only have to get the Vikings your third-round pick. So that would be pick number 70, okay? So you're giving up your sixth overall, and you're getting back 11 and 23 from the Vikings. So that's
done.
That offer.
That's done.
You're in on that one.
Yeah.
Lance?
Yeah, I'd be in on that too because I think gaining an additional first round pick is worth rolling the dice a little bit.
The difference between, like, once you get to pick 25 and the guys in the top 30 and the top 40, they're almost the same guy. You just
it depends on the draft, though.
Well,
I mean, there are years where there's depth in the first round.
I would say 28 versus 40 or 45 isn't that big of a difference. But 28 versus, like, 70, which is the pick you were getting from Chicago, that's a significant difference.
We're talking about 23 here.
No, I know.
So, I mean, we're higher than 25.
No, that's fair, too. All right, so offer number two. Broncos call you up. They say, we need – Sean Payton's desperate. He calls John Mara. Personally, he's like, dude, I you got to help me out, man. I need a quarterback. I'm staring at, you know, Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham here. Not Jared Stidham. Who's their quarterback in Denver?
Zach Wilson's far enough.
Zach Wilson.
I don't even know.
No, I'm right. It is Stidham. It is Jared Stidham. I'm sorry. Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham.
That's where he went last season.
I was thinking, sorry. So
let's not forget Ben DiNucci, though. Okay.
Hey,
if we're going to give a whole synopsis.
I think
synopsis,
you just bolstered my argument, by the way, just for the record.
I'm just saying. They got three guys in the room.
So the Broncos say, look, here's the problem, guys. We don't have a second-round pick this year to send you. This is a problem. So we can't give you a two because we don't have one. But we'll give you our third-round pick this year, which is selection number – I thought I had it written down, but I don't. That would be pick number for Denver. Where's Denver in round three?
How far is Denver moving up? Two spots?
That is pick 76.
Denver's at 12.
12.
So they're moving up 6 spots.
6 spot move up, 6 spot drop. So you're going to get their third round pick this year, which is pick number 76, and you're going to get their second round pick in 2025 to move down 6 spots.
I'm not doing that because it's very similar to the Chicago scenario. Yep. Because first of all, now you're falling deeper, John, into the first round than Chicago.
And Bowers might be gone at that point.
So I stand by, you're rolling too much of the dice. You're not getting an additional one like in the Minnesota trade. And one of the assets you're getting is in 2025. So I'd be stunned. This would be the biggest shock if Howard agrees to this trade because he's anti-big picture. He's more of small picture. So I'm dying to know where Howard stands, but I'd be against it. As a result of all that.
I would do it if you could roll in a one from next year, depending on where they draft.
Yeah, the Broncos say we can't give you one for next year. I'm sorry.
Man, I can't. You can't do that.
All right, how about this? They say they will give you the one for next year, but we're not giving you the third round pick this year.
I'd do that. If I do, wait a minute. Just one for one, basically?
No, you would swap. You would go down from 6 to 12, and the Broncos, you would get. So they would give you 12th overall this year and their first round pick next year to move up six spots.
And the Broncos will be playing them. Kansas City will beat them twice.
But you're actually going to go to
No, record. You're right. No, the Broncos' record might not be great next year.
Yeah.
That is part of the calculus. Howard's right.
And who they played it? They played the NFC.
I don't know who the AFC West plays this year. I got to be honest with you. I have not looked at that.
Because we played them last year, right?
Two years ago.
So that means they're playing the North. All right. We could do that.
All right, so if you get the one, you're in. Okay.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA. Yeah.
And here's the last one, the Raiders. This is easy. The Raiders will do 6 to 13. They're going to send you the 44th pick, their second round pick. It's nice and clean with the points. It adds up almost perfectly. You get their second round pick at 44, and you got to move from 6 to 13.
They'd have to add something else. They'd have to add their second round pick and sixth round pick or something. I'd have to have two picks from them to move that far down. Just like I would do with the other guys. Like, if you give me a first for next year, yes, I can understand that. But if you're going to if I got to move down, give me something. Give me a couple picks.
Give me a pick 44.
Well, you're giving one pick. I need something else.
That is a valuable pick.
I agree, but give me one, if the picks below are so bad, then give me a 6 and 7
also. How about you, Lance? You in on that?
Well, I mean,
44 to move back seven spots?
Once again, you're going to 13 here in the first round. So Odunze, Neighbors gone. Bowers probably gone. Okay, your options are limited in terms of who you're even taking. See, I'm focused more on who are you taking in the first round. I understand you guys are dangling out the carrot of the 44th overall pick, and it has value, I agree. But the old story is the higher you pick the player percentage-wise, the more likely that player pans out. Right. If you look at NFL history overall, I'm not talking about a small bubble or the last 3 years. I'm talking about overall. So I want the impactful player in the first round. You're removing yourself, especially from an offensive weaponry standpoint.
Okay, fair enough.
Too much risk.
Last trade down for the first round. The Bills call you from 28. Hey, Joe, this is Brandon Bean. Buddy, compadre, old friend. We don't got any wide receivers, man. We need some help.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to load this baby up for you. To move up from 28th overall to 6th overall, we'll swap picks with you so you get 28th overall. We're going to give you 60th overall, which is their second round pick. We're going to give you pick 144, which is in round number 5. We're going to give you our first round pick and our third round pick next year. So you're getting 28, 60, 144, and their first and third next year. To go from 28 to 6. Brandon Bean made the cart nice and full. Howard's enticed by next year's one. You're getting one this year.
Do you want me to bring up the Bills schedule, even though it's not out?
So with this pick.
And the Giants also have to send them their sixth round pick in this trade to make the point.
I'm not sending any picks away. So this is what I do. I would say yes, and the only reason why, you can package that picks to move right back into the spot you want to get the next guy if you have somebody in mind.
But it might cost you just as much to move up.
True.
Yeah, because you're at 28th now.
That's a long move. Yep. That's the problem.
Yeah, but you're going to be using the same. You just flop. You just
so again, you're getting a 1, 2, and 5 this year,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting a first and a third in 2025. Lance, as Howard ponders.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I'm going to pass because, see, I find it hard to believe that if the Giants get to sixth, and even if maybe the quarterback's gone or whatever, that there's no conviction in the room regarding at least one playmaker. There's going to be there. You move all the way down to 28th. Now, I mean, you're limiting yourself in terms of your choices and your options, and to get an additional first-round pick, it sounds lovely to get an additional third next year, but who knows where Buffalo's going to pan out this past season. We don't know. You know, I don't think they're going to fall off a cliff even though they've given up some personnel. So if they're going to be in the hunt for the division and a playoff picture, you know, they'll be middle of the pack, okay, if not further down the following year. It's not that appealing, potentially, of a first-rounder next year.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to the second round. I got two more for you guys, right?
Okay.
Trade up. The Ravens call you. They go, guys, you know, we're not used to this. We only have 8 picks this year. We usually have 9 or 10. We don't like this. We want some more picks. They're selecting at 30 overall. They say to the Giants,
we're willing... 2 spots behind Buffalo, by the way.
Yes.
For those of you counting at home.
Yeah. Whoa, but again, we're not involved in the first round
pick. No, I know. I'm just saying, explaining.
So the Ravens say, we want to move down and pick up some extra picks, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're going to give the Giants an opportunity to go from pick 47 to pick 30. In order to make that happen, the Giants have to trade their 3rd-round pick, and they have to trade their 6th-round pick, okay? The Ravens would send you back their 5th-round pick. Actually, they have their 4th-round pick and their 5th-round pick. Pick 130 and 165. So you're trading your 2nd, your 3rd, your 6th. You're getting back their 1st, their 4th.
And their 5th?
And their 5th. That's correct.
Yeah, that's an easy trade, though. Why wouldn't you do that one?
Well, because you're moving your 3rd-round pick into the... You're losing 60 spots from 70 to 130 to move up 17.
No, you're looking at it wrong. In theory...
No, I'm looking at it exactly
I know you're looking at the numbers. If you get a guy that's a first round, like maybe top would be the top of the 2nd round, first
you
round.
You just said there's not much of a difference between 30 and 47.
I know, but you're picking up 2 more players.
No, it's an even swap of picks. You're sending 3 picks out. You're getting 3 picks in.
Oh, I thought it was like I thought they gave us 1 extra.
No, you're sending 3 picks out, and you're getting 3 picks in. You're moving up 17 picks from 47 to 30, but you're moving back 60 picks from 70 to 130.
It depends if they have somebody they think that's their guy that they could get. Like, let's say, in this case, a Michael Penix Jr. or something like that. That's where you get your quarterback.
Oh, that's why I did this little equation.
So if you had something like that was like out there, that's like, hey, you know what? No one picked him up yet, so this might be our chance to get our guy.
What if one of the top 5 corners was still there, like a Kool-Aid McKinstry or Cooper DeJean?
That would be good, too. I don't know. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. I would do it because I think that there could be somebody there that you're probably going to get that kind of fell a little bit. You might even be able to get the top running back. I think the running back's will be second round, might be able to get the top running back if he's highly touted or something.
Lance, how about you?
Yeah, I would do it. I think the trade-off is worth it to go from 47 to 30 and, once again, try to maximize. And I know now we're in the territory of the last few first-round picks, maybe equivalent to a second rounder, mm-hmm. but the jump up to me is worthwhile. And I'd sacrifice the jump back later on. Because now we're not talking about the 1st round. You know, we're talking about later on in the draft. Plus, you're getting a 4th and a 5th. Giving up a 6th, I'll take a 4th and a 5th. Because I think, once again, the chances of getting a playmaker is higher than settling on your 6th round pick.
Okay. Last one. I'm going to go.
That was a 6th round pick, Lance. Be careful there.
All right.
You are the exception to the rule, Howard. There's a special place for you
in terms of my draft
analysis. Yes.
Lance was the one manning the phones in the 1st round, so when the Bills called, Lance...
I hung up on them.
Lance rejected the trade.
Yes.
But they're going to try again. They're going to say, Lance, it's Brandon. Can I please talk to Joe directly, please? Lance says, no, you're going to have to deal with me.
Something tells me he'd get Joe anyway directly.
Yeah, probably.
But go ahead, yes.
But so he says, all right, so here's what we're going to do. We want to move up to 47 from pick 60, okay? So the Giants would slide down from 47 to 60. That's 13
bottom
spots.
Yep.
In exchange for that, you would pick up the 4th rounder for the Bills at 128, and you would pick up a 5th rounder from the Bills at 144. So you would move down from 47 to 60, 13 spots, but you would pick up a late fourth round pick and a mid fifth round pick.
So you get three for one.
You're getting 3 for 1 here. Yes, you're going to be plus two on your pick total.
I think that's okay. I think the fourth round, it's like I said, the draft's really top heavy. I think the first three rounds where everybody's going to be. When you start squeezing into that fourth round, I think there's going to be a lot of similar talent. It's going to be depending more on your scouting team that if you got the right guys and the guys you favor at that point.
The reason I'm concerned about this trade, though, is you move 47 to 60. Now maybe you're taking yourself out of consideration for one of those really good corners that we were talking about earlier. And if a quarterback is still around, to your point, Howard, chances are that quarterback probably is going to be gone as well. I'd be worried about that trade-off because I'd rather have, okay, you stay at 6, you're getting the offensive weapon, and now we're adding a potential quarterback and a potential top-notch corner. You think giving that up is worth perhaps the additional picks later on? I'd have a hard time digesting that.
You have to like consider what you're thinking about though. If you're saying that you stayed at 6, now you got your top flight receiver. You got the guy you wanted. Now you're at the top of the second round, right? And you're trying to figure out what you're going to do. They're offering you more picks on the back end, and
sure.
and so far as you're looking at, no corner's really been taken off the board more than maybe the kid. Not Kool-Aid. The other kid,
Arnold. Or Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, one of those two guys was taken off the board. Another three or four guys are going to fall down to your level. You're going to have a couple D linemen that are going to fall into your spot right there at that spot in that lower second round tier. So you got some actual viable players that are going to be there, and some players that that could actually fill a need that you have instead of just like drafting we got him, he's the best player. Maybe he'll never play, but we got him for now. So you might be able to get some guys that you can use and do some fill spots.
Lance, I didn't ask you this. What players would you be really psyched for to make that move up with the Bills or the Ravens from 47 to – with the Ravens, pardon me, from 47 to 30? What players would you be targeting in that area that you would be really excited about, either that fills a need or just fills a position that you really think has some value?
Well, I think you'd consider taking some of the corners we threw out there.
Yeah.
And I think all of those corners will probably still be on the board, or at least the maximum number of those guys out of the group that we mentioned, as opposed to the lesser side. So, I mean, a playmaking corner who could be a starter for years to come and insurance, God forbid, some of these other younger guys gets hurt or doesn't pan out. To me, that's worth it. And then, once again, I think you're also in the territory of if you like a quarterback, and we're not talking about a huge difference between a high second-round pick and a late first-rounder, you'd also consider maybe a Michael Penix Jr. Mm-hmm. at this point if he's appealing too.
I think
both of those positions are definitely very much up for grabs in that spot.
All right, let's open up the phones, guys. 201-939-4513. I want to try to get in as many calls as possible in the next half hour, guys. So we're going to try to move quickly. So I don't want, I have 6 points. I need to make them all. So pick one point, maybe a follow-up. Be quick. We want to try to move from call to call here and get in as many people as we can. We haven't taken a ton of calls over the last month because of all the college guests. I want to make sure we get them in today. Tomorrow, Bob Papa will be joining Big Blue Kickoff Live with me. We'll take a ton of calls with you as well. We have one quick guest in the middle of the show. That's it. But we'll take a bunch of calls with you. And then Matt Sytak and I will be with you on Thursday afternoon before the draft. And we'll take a bunch of calls then as well. No guest at all on Thursday afternoon. Don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. And folks, if you're looking for something to listen to over the next few days after you're done with Big Blue Kickoff Live, go check out the Giants Huddle podcast. We've had a lot of really good guests. Two more looks at the offensive side of the ball this week with Derek Klassen and Brandon Thorne. Derek does the skill position guys. Brandon does the offensive line, is the best in the business at that. So go check those out. And, of course, we've had just a million good interviews over the past 3 or 4 weeks, former GMs, former players, Kurt Warner, Thomas Dimitrioff, draft analysts like Charles Davis, former scouts like Brian Broaddus. Just go back, a multitude of different guests talking about guys at all these positions, Bucky Brooks, Field Yates, really good interviews on the Giants Huddle podcast. Make sure you check it out. And if you want to know the latest draft buzz, Tony Pauline and I just recorded draft season yesterday. He kind of gave what he's hearing about what teams might do, what teams might make trades. Really good information from Tony on that podcast. I shut up. I let Tony give his intel, and I just ask questions.
It must have been important.
Yeah, no, it was really good information to get me to shut up. Absolutely true. So make sure you go check that out on draft season, our two other podcasts that are going strong in the off season. All right, 201-939-4513. Let's lead it off with Randy in California. You're up first on Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's up, Randy?
Hey, good morning, guys. I promise I will not pull a Wilson on you guys, so I'll make it quick. Right? There.
Well, we lost
him. Trade at number six.
Go ahead, Randy. We
there
got
is
you.
No way I'm. Okay. There is no way I'm trading my number six pick unless there's a Mark Bavaro or your man sitting right next to you, right? As player wise, right? So if there's not a cross there or a Bavaro, forget it.
Well,
I'm not
Randy, here's the thing.
I'm gonna let
Howard give his analysis of Brock Bowers. He's the tight end right. here.
Yeah, Brock Bowers is Bavaro. He's fast. He's strong. He puts his nose in there. He runs after the catch. He takes contact very well. Which is not nearly as much contact.
Started as a true freshman at Georgia.
Not as much contact in the NFL as there is in college, so he's going to be a hard guy to get down.
Yeah, but he's not you. He's not a bulldozer either.
Yeah,
right?
But you know that's they don't
like
do,
that. You
that's
were
not
done,
the days.
Bro.
There's not the days of that. There's very few guys in the league that are like me.
Randy, I'm going to be very clear, and I'm going to ask Howard. Howard, if you came out today, what position would they have you play?
I'll probably have been a quarterback.
Oh, see, I think it would have been an offensive tackle.
You think I'm joking?
No, I don't think you're joking.
I think you just picked the highest paid player. That's
yeah,
I was when I went to college. I was 6'5", 185 pounds. I was quarterback. I would have played quarterback.
Yeah, you might have. Yeah. And you have big enough hands for it. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I was smart. Understood
anyway,
the game.
Peace out, brothers. I'll let you guys go so we can get the next caller in.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate the call, man. But guys, don't underestimate how good Brock Bowers is. He might not be 265 pounds, but that dude's a player, man.
Which great tight end outside of Gronk weighed that much?
How much does Kittle weigh, Lance? What is he like? 255, Kittle?
245.
Yeah. Is he
Let me see. I'll look him up.
He would probably be the next biggest guy, right? That's right now. That's
Kittle
that's
is as complete
really well.
As you're gonna find. Kittle is listed as 250.
250. So right in between us.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. All right. Let's go to Jason in New Haven. Jason, you're up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. One thing, appreciate all your content, fellas. So keep up the good work. I just want to say whoever they take on Thursday, of course, I'll be rooting them on. Just two players I would like to get your opinions on that I'm kind of interested on. I'll take it off the air.
Yeah.
One receiver that I really like. I'm a proponent of us trading down. Now, if one of those top guys, and of course, I have no problem taking them. Receiver or quarterback, but one guy that I think is still not talked about enough is Brian Thomas. I really like his tape. He's an athletic freak at that size, smooth speed, good at ball tracking, really shifty in and out of his cuts, and a lot of lateral quickness for his size. So I know we probably won't take him at six, but if we could do a small trade down, man, if we're talking about an X receiver like Rome, I think he's your prototype X receiver. There's some things he might have to clean up. And then the second player, probably later on in the draft. If I'm thinking about probably taking this a slow build, I really don't want to trade up for quarterback. If they do, I'm behind it. But I really want to see what they could do with I called a few weeks ago about Milton. I know a lot of analysts are not high on him. But if we're high on Dable and Kafka as – guys that could work, and Tierney, guys that could work with quarterbacks, I wouldn't see a problem with him sitting for a year or two with that arm and that size and that speed. I think we could really mold him into something. So I want to see what you guys think about those two, and thanks for the call.
Thank you, Jason. I'll give my quick take on the two players, and you guys can go. I think Brian Thomas has a really bright future. He mentioned all the athletic traits. He checks every one of those boxes: size, strength, speed. He does flash some side-to-side shiftiness on tape for a guy his size, but I think he's raw. He hasn't played a ton of football. And, again, maybe he can do it, but LSU didn't ask him to run a very advanced route tree. It was a lot of vertical stuff, a lot of stop routes, slants. There was not a whole lot of nuance in what they're asking to do in terms of routes, so I do think there is going to be a developmental curve there. I do think he has an A.J. Brown type of body. Which obviously
yeah, he's 6'4",
nice.
So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think he checks a lot of those boxes. Could he develop into a player that's as good as these other three guys? Yes. I don't think he's nearly as polished as they are right now. In terms of Joe Milton, here's the problem with Joe Milton. Joe Milton played in college for 6 years at Michigan and Tennessee. He's still extremely raw as a player. At what point do you say that development's not going to come? And again, I have no problem taking your late-round flyer on him,
Yeah, but that's what I think he was saying. He's saying like,
fine,
like sixth round, seventh round.
But you can't
like
draft him and say, oh, well, we have our developmental quarterback. That's a flyer pick.
And here's the other thing. If he gets drafted that late, will you keep him on the team? Or would you have to cut him and bring him back and all that stuff? And would he pass through waivers? That's the hard thing on him.
That's a really good point, Howard. Yeah. You're right about that.
You, you got a lot of guys at quarterback. So that would be the hardest thing about Joe. I think Joe has great potential like everyone else. I don't know about the rawness of it or everything. I just think that, you know, he was asked to throw go routes. That's what he was asked to do. Like drop back, throw go routes, or run. That was the offense wasn't that complicated at Tennessee. Yep. We got faster guys than you. See if you can keep up with them. Let's go.
He's also not super accurate, which is the problem.
Well, yeah, and that to me is the biggest issue of all.
Well, he didn't throw a lot of pass. Like I said, the big thing was him to throw the ball down the field. If he threw one across the middle, it was like a throwaway play because it was like, oh, well, we're not going to get a touchdown on this. We're going to just try to throw it. So they like being in third and long, it looked like to me.
And by the way, despite being
in the NFL.
and despite being a six-year collegian, yeah, he really was only a full-time starter for one season, which was the last year at Tennessee, too.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff that, yep, that, you know.
Yeah, because he didn't play much in Michigan.
He's almost like Trey Lance, a little bit, because he has all that ability and you just don't know what you're going to get when you get him.
Well, he's a great athlete. He's got great size. But, yeah, you know, the number that I'm staring at, and I'll give it to you, 39% completion percentage on throws beyond 10 yards this past season. And that's a major problem. Now, granted, Josh Allen had accuracy issues coming out of Wyoming. But I think Allen had much more starting experience where you saw traits and you said, okay, if I could get my hands on him and I'm a good QB coach, good coordinator, we could tweak it. I don't know if I'd put Milton in that same department.
I kind of put him in the same department. I mean, I just think that if you know the guy can throw the ball, you can get him to take a little bit off the fastball there and you can get the ball to people. I just don't know how soon he'll be able to do it.
Yeah, I think that's going to do.
That's problem number one.
It is a long developmental curve.
And like I said,
he's already 24.
And everybody keeps talking about the age. These guys are playing under 40 now, so it's not that big of a deal.
No. But my point is that if you're still in college and you're 24 and you're not dominant, and you're playing against a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds.
Can you change the traits at this point?
That's a problem.
That's the bigger issue.
Well, it's coaching. I'm not defending him or anything. I'm just saying that I've seen guys that have good coaching.
But he was in two good programs.
Coaching, I'm telling you, like if they don't like what you're doing and they're like, okay, I want somebody to do this.
I hear you.
It's a lot. When you go to school, when I went to college, there were like, I think there was like 12 quarterbacks in the quarterback room. I'm like, yeah, I'm not playing quarterback. There were like 12 to 15 outside linebackers. So I'm not doing that.
Well, you also had a big attitude problem. I don't understand why they wouldn't want to coach you.
And I walked in, I'm like, oh, there's one tight end. Could I play tight end? They're like, yeah, if you want to. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll play tight end. Everybody started laughing. Like, you're going to play tight end? Like, you need to gain some weight. I'm like, I'll be all right. I'll get it one day. Now I can't get rid of it. But anyway.
That's what happens when you stay in the cafeteria too long. Yeah. So,
but, yeah, I mean, I think that. So, and who's the other guy he was talking about?
Brian Thomas from LSU.
Yeah.
You focus so much on the star, you don't really focus on the other kid. I mean, he could potentially be great. I know you say he was raw, but he could potentially be great also.
He was productive this past season.
I mean, the guy had 17 touchdowns. So, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's upside there. I would have no problem taking Brian Thomas, but I think you have to understand that.
Well, Les, he could be one of those trade down targets at 14. If you made that trade down to 12, 13, or 14. You could get Brian Thomas there.
But once again, I still see Neighbors and Odunze a level up from him.
So do I. I
and
agree
And that's
with you.
Why it's I'm unwilling to make that roll of the dice under those circumstances.
All right, let's go to George in Florida. He's up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hi, George.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Pretty good.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. I enjoyed your trade synopses. But I got to tell you, in my opinion, the Giants should stay where they are, not make any trades. I see this draft shaping up as a situation where need matches up with availability between the wide receiver at six and the second, third, and fourth round picks. The Giants got 100 picks in the they got 4 picks in the first 100 picks in the draft from what I see. Maybe 107 is the last one. I thought when the offseason started that the Giants needed to acquire 8 players. And in my opinion, they've acquired 5 of the 8 that I thought they needed. And I think in those four draft picks, they can acquire potentially the other three that I thought they needed.
What, so out of curiosity, George, what are the other three you think they need?
I think that they need wide receiver, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think that they need a defensive back, corner, or safety. And I think they need some depth at the defensive line.
Okay, that's fair.
And I think they need another running back, not necessarily a starter, but somebody who can come in and be part of that group that's going to contribute.
I think that makes sense.
I like that.
I also have a weird, if you got a couple of minutes, I got a weird trade proposal I haven't heard anybody talk about.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
Okay, so it really doesn't directly affect the Giants, but Harbaugh seems to think that McCarthy's a great quarterback.
They're not going to trade Justin Herbert, George.
Wait a minute. So they trade Herbert to Chicago. Chicago take that or not? Just follow my thought process. Do they take it or not?
Well, they have the number one overall pick. Why do they need to trade for Herbert?
Would it be straight up for the number one overall pick?
No, they have to also give up their nine.
No, they would not do that.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Okay, why not? You got a quarterback that makes them a legitimate contender right off the bat.
Because you're already paying Justin Herbert $50 million a year, while Caleb Williams is going to make around $8 million a year on his rookie contract.
Yep.
Okay, if that breaks the deal. But anyway, I thought it would be interesting.
Now, if it was Herbert for number one and just number one, and then you could still pick at nine, maybe that's a different conversation. But I think the value of that rookie contract, I don't think it's something that you can necessarily pass on. And by the way, I think for the record, the Chargers would be out of their minds. Bonko is crazy to make that trade, too,
You hamstring yourself also trading away a guy like Herbert. And when you pick him up, you got a $50 million hit to your cap.
Yeah, I don't know what the Bears cap situation is, so I can't really comment on that.
No, fair enough. No, George, I like you thinking outside the box, man. I appreciate it, man.
Okay, well, thanks for taking my call, and go Giants.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. Thank you for calling in and listening. All right, mm-hmm. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. He's up next. Hi, Len.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Len?
Okay, I'll be as quick as possible. Let's keep the pick at six. Give me Odunze, give me Jenkins, give me Estime, give me Pratt from Tulane in the fourth, give me the safety from Maryland, Blade in the fifth, and I won't go to the sixth.
Len, I appreciate the fact that the guys you put in those rounds were all realistic players for those rounds.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is a very nice selection.
He's thought about it. I like that.
Yeah. Hey, Howard, just a quick one. 10 weeks ago, I said this was the biggest 10 weeks in Giants history, starting with free agency, working our way to the draft. Howard, let's hit this draft, okay?
Yeah, I would love to see him hit it perfectly. The problem is that the Giants hit the draft. I think they've done pretty good the last couple of years. So, you know, but before that, it's like every 10 years they have a great draft. But now they're more consistent. They got a great staff in there. They're doing a good job. Joe's doing a good job.
Okay, one more piece of advice for Joe. Stay true to your board. Stay true to your board.
Thank you, Len.
Stay true to your board. All right, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Let's go, Giants.
Great.
Let's go.
Who is Len's second round pick in that scenario again, Lance? It was Odunze. Who was the second rounder?
Did he say the Notre Dame running back?
That was the third rounder.
I think it was a defensive tackle from Texas.
Oh, Sweat? Devondre Sweat?
May have been Sweat.
It may have been, but it was good, yeah.
I'll have to go back and listen. No, but I thought those were too many times I get people calling up saying like, oh, just pick Byron Murphy in the second round. Like, no. Byron Murphy's going to be gone in the top 15 picks. Yeah. So that was a nice selection of players. Len, really good stuff.
Len's been paying attention.
Oh, he's ready to go. We've all talked about this long enough. I think we're all ready to go. Let's go to Sal in New York. He's next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Sal, what's going on, man?
Good dinner, guys. Good to talk to you.
What's up?
Now, I'm going against the board. I want Joe Alt as the first pick for the Giants.
All right, make your case.
What good will having a wide receiver and a quarterback be if the quarterback cannot throw the ball and you get time to throw it? You get Joe Alt. That offensive line we fixed two times in recent history. The Giants have bypassed in Hall of Fame offensive line from Notre Dame. And I'm not a Notre Dame fan by any stretch of the imagination. Quentin Nelson and Zach Martin. Don't make the mistake the third time.
Where are you putting Joe Alt? Where are you putting him on the offensive line?
You find him either guard, or one of the tacklers. He can do the job.
First of all, Sal, here's the thing. You're not putting Joe Alt at guard if you pick him in a sixth overall. So the only place you could put him is at right tackle. And then Lance making
You're playing right tackle. By Evan Neal.
But he hasn't played right tackle, though. He's been a left tackle in college. So you're putting him at a spot with different footwork that he's never played before. So
you put him at left tackle.
So then what are you doing with Andrew Thomas?
I don't know. You figure it out. The Giants need help with the offensive line.
You can't just put bodies on the offensive line and get the magic wand out and expect that everything's going to click. Football doesn't work
and
like that.
And they did invest in four veteran offensive linemen in free agency. Now, these guys, superstars, no, but they're guys that I think gives them backstops. You give Evan Neal another chance. Again, if they pick Joe Alt, he's a really good player, Sal. It's fine. I'm sure he'll figure out a way to play right tackle. We're playing devil's advocate to you right here. And I do think the position switch is risky. And the other part of it, you know, you said, well, what good is a really good wide receiver if you don't have time to throw it? Well, what's the point of having a really good offensive line even if you just sit back there and nobody's getting open because your receivers aren't good enough?
That's true, too.
I understand it, but I think the reason why Jones didn't finish season last season is because the fact the offensive line was not that good. And it hasn't been good for a few years now.
Yeah, but
totally agree, Sal. No argument.
A lot of that was, you know, they got injured. That's what when you were saying, like, move Joe Alt to right tackle when he was playing left tackle the whole time. They did a lot of that last year because there were so many injuries. They had guards playing tackle, tackles playing inside, centers. You know, they had moved everybody around they could. They brought guys in off the street or off the couch, as they said, and they tried to, you know, fill it. It's very hard to get, you know, good big men to play the position they're supposed to be in.
Good call, Sal. Appreciate it. I like the different ideas here of where you want to go. Let's go to Bob in Vermont. We do have a couple open lines, folks, if you want to try to squeeze in here in the last 8 minutes or so of the show at 201-939-4513. Bob, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I talked to you before. Remember me, Howard?
Yes, I do. How are you doing?
Good. You guys are awesome. I never met the talked to the other guy, Lance Meadow, before. Nice to meet you, well, Lance.
Same here. There we go.
So I wanted to ask you three at pick six, what teams you, what plays you want at pick six.
Well, Bob, look, I think we've narrowed it down to a few guys, and I'll just give you my take. The guys I would consider there, and I'll even give you the order if you want. I'm assuming Caleb Williams is gone, so I'm going to just cross him off my list, right?
Okay.
So in on my board,
that's
the way
a big assumption
order,
on your
yeah,
part.
I know,
yeah.
Really, really risk-taking proposal there. It would be Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Joe Alt, Brock Bowers. That would be my list.
I would do Nabers, Dunze. I would do Bowers, probably. I'd do Jalen Daniels if he was going to be the quarterback to be there, because he's just so different than the other two. You know, than the other two guys with his ability to get outside the box and to make plays with his feet. And what I mean, like outside the pocket. When he gets outside the pocket, he's gone.
No, I hear you.
So that makes a difference. Marvin Harrison.
And by the way, I also have Daniels in my top 10. I would probably slide him in there right around the Nabers, Harrison area. I would have to double check where my board
I think
sits.
Harrison is going to be a proven pro too, so, yeah.
Okay, the one who took Joe Alt, what position will you play him on the line then? If you just told the other guy not to move him to left tackle him.
No, I mean, look, you would move him at right tackle, but that's why I have four or five guys ahead of him.
I think the Giants would have had to interview him, you know, a lot to see if he would have the willingness.
And the one thing Notre Dame did do, Bob, they played a lot of what you call an unbalanced offensive line, and Howard knows this from watching. And what they do, they'll move all, and they did this a bunch, moved him from his left tackle spot, played him outside of their right tackle, Blake Fisher. It basically kind of had him on the extra tight end on the right side. So he has done that a little bit, not a ton, but he did that
his freshman year, and then once, you know, Fisher got beat, banged up, he had to move right into tackle, and they stayed there for the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd be good for the New York Giants, but if we could get a wide receiver, that would be good.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
No. Thank you, Bob. Lance, how about you?
Well, I mean, the one thing I was going to throw out, see, J.C. Latham, he has exposure to the right tackle position.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're talking about you want to really beef up and bolster the offensive line, and I understand maybe a little too high at six, but, you know, you can move down and then grab Latham if all your other options run out, and then that, to me, is a plug-and-play scenario.
Latham would have been my guy after Bowers.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would – he'd be after you have Odunze and Neighbors. You know, I still think Bowers is – I like Bowers the player. I just – I think there's still potential on this roster, even outside of Waller, at tight end. And I'd rather have the big playmaker at wide receiver than tight end based on this offense. But I'll put Bowers third if you're telling me everybody else is gone. I'm not considering the quarterbacks because I just don't think any of the quarterbacks are going to be around at six.
I think Bowers is a bigger playmaker than you think because he draws a lot of the underneath coverage. That leaves guys on the outside one-on-one. There's no doubling anybody. And he's a harder guy to cover. And if he gets to the slot and starts running the slot plays.
He also runs like a running back, too.
They
have utilized him, sure.
So it's going to be a lot of that. So he would make it the game a lot harder to play from a defensive standpoint when you're looking at it.
My question is, Howard, though, based on where this offense is right now and their lack in scoring, and you could say that was contributed to injuries, fine, but previous years they had a tough time. Can Bowers make as much of a difference as Neighbors or Odunze for this offense? Don't look at it from a big picture perspective. Apply those guys to this offense.
If you applied guys to the offense and you're trying to figure it out, then Bowers would be the guy you would pick up. And the reason why Bowers would be the guy you'd pick up because you're not going to have a lot of time to throw the ball. The guy closest to the ball catches the ball more often. That's what you saw with the small receiver we have who gets around and he's a scat back out there.
Wandell
Robinson. Mm-hmm. Yep. You're going to need to get the ball out of the hands of the quarterback a lot sooner. And when you get the ball out of his hands sooner, it's going to be the tight end or Wendell's going to be catching the ball. That if that's what you're looking at, if you're trying to look at it from a standpoint, unless you think you've greatly improved your offensive line to the point where, hey, he can hit a fifth step. If you think he can get to the fifth step before he's getting touched or someone getting in his face, then you want the receiver. If you're not sure he's going to get to that fifth step, then you want the tight end because you'll be able to get the ball out of your hands to a tight end a lot faster, and especially a guy that's used to catching the ball in tight spaces.
I would agree with your assessment. I would just say I think Neighbors could be a guy even if you don't have time to throw the ball too.
Because, in the slot, right?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but I mean we've seen he thrives off a yak. So you could give him a short pass. He could turn it into an explosive play. So, I mean, I think Neighbors would fit the bill of what you're talking about, too, if your house is not in order.
He'd have to be in the slot, though. He can't be on the outside.
And I'm with you there. I think if you draft him, you utilize him there. Now, granted, it'd be a little bit of an overkill with Wandell Robinson, but he could definitely do damage out of that spot.
That's why. Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Pete in Staten Island. He wants to talk about the quarterbacks. Pete, what's up?
All right. So, you guys, I'm assuming that I haven't heard you talk about quarterbacks at all.
Today or ever?
Well, at least today's show, for sure.
We've thrown them in.
I'm trying to figure out how the narrative changed in 1 year where Joe Shane and Brian Daboll said last year, and I quote, "In our system, a number one wide receiver is not needed. Everyone's a number one wide receiver." So how did that narrative change over 1 year? All of a sudden, we need a wide receiver one.
Pete, I'm asking you a genuine question. When did they say that?
John, they said it multiple times, especially Joe Shane said it multiple times in question.
Although, here's the thing, because Pete, I asked Joe Shane at the combine in a one-on-one interview this year, do you consider a number one wide?
John, that's this year. Not last year. Yeah, that's why I said the narrative has changed.
Yeah,
here's the thing. Pete, I got to be honest with you. I don't remember him. Lance, I don't know if you remember.
I'm trying to look it up. I'm trying to find an exact quote to see whether or not we can hone in.
But even with that being said, what will happen, why you need a number one, and when you evaluate yourself where you need a number one, if you go through a season where you see that, you know, you got guys, but you don't have that consistent guy that you can go to when you're watching A.J. Brown down in Philadelphia, you know, week in and week out, and you're watching the guy CeeDee Lamb in Dallas, it becomes this thing where you're like, okay, we need one of those guys also because it's changing the way you cover, it's changing the way you're changing the way your running back's being addressed and things. It's also changing what your quarterback has to look at. And if he looks up and he sees two guys slid over to the side of your big-time receiver or the guy that's the big danger, then it opens up things in the rest of the field. That's what they're kind of migrating towards They've tried it with the with nobody being a serious number one. It just you get a lot of 5-yard catches, a lot of 10-yard catches. You'll get a 30 or 40 every once in a while. They wanted to look like, okay, this guy can go 40 every time. So that's what the change is.
So after they were eliminated from the playoffs a year ago, okay, so this is January 2023, Shane had the following comment, quote, "A number one wide receiver can be important, but there are some number one wide receivers that are home right now," meaning he was referring to teams that are currently in the NFL mm-hmm. who didn't have deep postseason runs. And then he added, "A number one receiver doesn't guarantee you anything." End quote.
Yeah, but
there's a distinct difference, though.
Yeah, that's
in
much different
that
than
you
what you
need
said, Pete. Correct.
A number one wide receiver, though. See, context matters here.
No. All right, but also now, what to Howard's point, right? You drafted a number one wide receiver, right? But then you don't have anybody throwing him the ball. So what is he? He's a wide receiver running routes. That's what Howard just said.
Okay.
So if you don't have the quarterback to get him the ball, and right now you have to admit, and I'm sorry, our quarterback room is horrible.
Pete, I just listed the top guys I'd want to draft at 6. Who was the first guy I mentioned?
Well, I didn't hear the whole show, so go ahead.
It was right before your call, Pete.
It was Drake May.
He said
Drake May.
No, I didn't hear it.
Okay. But Pete, don't call up and yell at us for not talking quarterback when I said it literally five minutes ago.
But here's the thing, though. You could put any quarterback you want from the draft in behind a bad line, and he's going to be in a tough spot. And that's the thing that people have to think about. You got to make sure that your front is taken care of. We've said it on we said on every show that we had, they're like, hey, look, if you don't protect these guys, it's not going to matter.
And I love
all the quarterbacks, and I think they were all going to do pretty decent and they get to the league. But you can look at case in point, Bryce Young, who got hit 1,000 times this year. He's not going to make it. He's just not. I love the kid, Heisman winner, whole nine yards. He ain't gonna make it.
He also didn't have a lot of playmakers around him either.
He had neither. Adam Thielen was his best wide receiver. Right. Yeah, he had neither one.
You know, I mean, this idea that you have to wait to get everything in order and then all of a sudden you address other needs. Right. There is no NFL team that has the luxury to do that. That's like telling a team that has a high draft pick, don't draft the quarterback now until you find over the next 3 years that your offensive line works. And then you don't have a high pick and you can't get a quarterback.
Right.
You take the player and then little by little you work around that. So I disagree with the assessment that even though you're not ultra confident on the line and the quarterback, you pass up on the weaponry.
You get the best player.
Correct. So this way, over the course of the rookie contract, you're not reaching for a guy and you're investing in somebody that also is going to warrant a second contract, no matter who is the signal caller.
And again,
you've already
made a heavy investment in the offensive line. You used a first round pick on Andrew Thomas. You used a second round pick on John Michael Schmitz. You used a top 10 pick on Evan Neal. And again, it hasn't worked out. But then you go and you sign Jermaine Illuminor, who's been a 2-year starter to back up your tackle. Mm-hmm. You sign 3 guards, right? You sign Stinney, sign Runyon, and then Schlottman, who's your backup center guard combination. You have Illuminor, who's the guard tackle combination, Lance, correct. You have Josh Azudu, who was a 3rd round pick 2 years ago. You have Marcus McKeithen, who was a 5th round pick 3 years ago. Does that mean the offensive line problem is solved? No, it doesn't. But
All guys are injured, by the way.
A lot of them are. You're right, Howard. No question about it. But if you look at, they've already lost Saquon Barkley. There's also a chance Darren Waller's not going to be here. They were your 2 best weapons last year. What chance does your quarterback have when you have that set of weapons around you? Last year, you could already see they were at a deficit at that spot to some extent. They don't have that number one guy that guys had to pay extra attention to, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you take away your number one weapon on offense and your running back in Saquon. Darren Waller might not be here. He was supposed to be your number one target on offense. You don't replace them with anybody. They haven't made – well, you replaced Barkley with Singletary, but you haven't made any extra moves at wide receiver or tight end, right? I think you're asking a lot for an offense to be a functioning high-level offense when you're not investing a lot at the skill position spots. And I think it's a very – is offensive tackle a little bit more important? Sure. But wide receiver – but they've already invested in that spot. That's what I'm saying.
I got it.
They didn't go and spend $8 million on a wide receiver like they did on Jermaine Illuminor this offseason, right?
Nope, that's true. That's true.
So I think you really need someone at that spot. But, Pete, to your point – and, again, we wanted to get to the next call. So if there's a quarterback there that you think is going to be a superstar and is going to, you know, be like, you know, the Aaron Rodgers of the world, you go, you pick that player. I don't think any of us disagree with you when it comes to that. But we've talked about the scenarios. I mean, I've done like six giant huddle podcasts that have just been on quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. The idea that's out there, and that we even talked about the quarterbacks on these shows over the past month and a half, it's just nonsense. It's nonsense. And I'll just leave it at that.
He didn't hear it. It's okay.
Well, and once again,
even though he was on hold while I said it, which was pretty impressive.
The other reason is also I think we're assuming that by the time the Giants pick at six, assuming they don't move, that a number of guys are not going to be available too at that position.
Right.
Let's not forget.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about, well, we've got Drake May and Jaden Daniels, one on our wish list, but in all likelihood, those two guys are going to be gone by the time the Giants select. So
and you might not even have an opportunity to get either one of them if you even wanted to.
So you also need to operate from a realistic standpoint. I think that's what this conversation is about too.
Correct. And again, Pete, no one argues that quarterback's the most important position. Of course it is. And you're always looking to be the best that you possibly can at that spot. But let's get to the last call. Coach Marvin in Delaware will wrap us up today. Hi, Coach.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Great, Coach. What's up?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Hey, this is so tough to do. People think drafting is so easy.
Oh, it's so hard.
It's very, very difficult. This morning, I was looking at the history because Paul did something about what's the hit rate for first-round quarterbacks compared to the quarterbacks after the first round.
You know, but Coach Marvin, though, I hate that argument because then just never pick
a, too.
Because then just never pick a quarterback in the first round. Oh, then guess what? You're never going to be good.
and I asked Paul, that's not fair because he was basing on the first round to all the other rounds, which means it was like the first against the whole board, and that's not fair. I wanted to know, okay, if you pick him in the second round, what's that percentage? Third round. So on my own, real quick, on my own, I went in it this morning. I want to write those names down, and hopefully I can call you guys before the draft or the day of the draft. The quarterbacks are horrible. Since 1990, I think I went. If you go and look at the hits on all of them, every round, look at the names on that. It is horrible. It's a handful of guys in the draft that does well in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are below average or they just are total miss.
Coach Marvin, in the first round of the draft, it's a coin flip proposition. That's what it is.
Yes.
It's now conflict.
I found more hits in the first round, though.
What I want to say
as far as the draft, getting off that what we're just talking about is if they want a quarterback, and this is me talking, I say it's only two in the first round that I like, and that's Daniels and Williams. Those are the only two I like. He's a guy I can like and maybe fall in love with later. JJ, I kind of like. I don't know if I'll fall in love with him. But if I want to spend my pick on him, I want my first two choices, not my third or my fourth.
No, I get that.
So I like the receivers. I'm really high on the receivers. It looked like any one of those three. I mean, we say there's no way we can get Harrison. I don't agree with that. There may be. We don't know how it's going to fall. He may fall in your lap. You don't know. But any of those guys, I like any of those guys. I like Odunze, too, even though y'all talk. Howard doesn't like the 50-50, and I know where he's going, because if you just say 50-50, that means he's a guy that's not open, is what Howard's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But Odunze, if you say he's an all-around player, he runs routes and he does this, then you don't have to use the word 50-50. If you throw it up, he'll fight and go get it, rather than say 50-50.
Fair enough, Coach.
I understand how we're going with that, but I like those receivers. And if I can't get the receivers, my second choice will be a lineman. And all I like, but you're right, you can't use them because where are you going to play them? So I like Fulaga from Oregon.
Yeah, and look, absolutely. And Coach, we're like way over here. We got to go. I'm sorry, man. But we'll be back on tomorrow and Thursday if you want to give a call back and make the rest of your point. Look, I think Latham and Fuaga, Lance, if you want to pick a right tackle, those are the next two guys on your list.
Yeah, and
that to me is practical because, once again, you're not questioning can they play in that position. You've seen it on film. I'd feel a lot more comfortable using a high first-round pick on somebody like that. And the other thing that I just wanted to add, you go back the last two decades, 2004 and 2020 are the only first round quarterback classes where at least three guys have panned out for their respective teams. Just to give you an idea, okay? Yeah. And 2004, of course, is Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. I think all three teams are fairly content with how that worked out.
Yeah, I think so.
2020, even though the jury, you could say, is still out, but you talk about Joe Burrow, you talk about Tua, you talk about Justin Herbert. That's it.
I think you feel pretty good about that. Sure.
But that's it, John. So
By the way, I don't think Tua and Herbert have won a playoff game yet.
Well, no. Herbert was close, and then the Jaguars came back.
I'm just saying, but I agree. I would consider those three panning out.
Yeah.
But two of the three still haven't won a playoff game yet.
Yeah, well, and also Tua's had some injuries. But, I mean, once again, when he's healthy, that offense is on. He's a big part of it.
That's fair.
And for the receivers, I think Odunze, if you guys want to compare him, is kind of like a Larry Fitzgerald kind of guy.
I think that guy worked out pretty well the last time I checked.
I'm not saying he's never open. I'm just like, I don't like the description 50-50, and I never will. And Neighbors is kind of closer to probably Odell.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He's a 70-30 receiver. Yeah. How about
that? So real quick, the last time you guys are on before we actually draft players on Thursday night. So we'll start with you, Howard. What do you think they're going to do, and what do you hope that they do?
They're probably going to wind up drafting a receiver. I think three of the four quarterbacks will be gone. I think the fourth quarterback will be kind of lingering around. I don't think he's going to make the top 10 like everybody else says.
Oh, do you think McCarthy drops out of the top 10?
Drops down, and maybe Denver tries to move up and get him, and then it becomes a Denver, like, you know, Vegas trying to figure out how to get him into the fold. I don't think he goes there. I think that's kind of the way they go. If a Joe Alt or somebody's there, then they're going to have to make a decision. Because if we're drafting the best player, he's going
to
be the best
player. What do you want them to do? Do you want them to draft Walter, the receiver?
I would rather them draft the receiver if they're going to do it, yeah.
Lance, how about you?
I don't think that the quarterback options are going to be attractive when they pick. I think if there's any team that's going to move up, it's going to be the Minnesota Vikings because they have two first-rounders. Mm-hmm. They have a package right now that's appealing, and they clearly need a quarterback. So that's the team that's going to move up, and in all likelihood, they'll move up probably in front of the Giants, and that could very well be the fourth quarterback. And I find it hard to believe that the Giants are going to take the fifth option, no matter if you sell me on the fact that that guy is relatively high on their list. So I think in all likelihood, it will be an offensive weapon, and it will be Neighbors or Odunze will probably be the pick. Either one of them, I could see, based on that option. I find it hard to believe because I think the Cardinals, if there's any team that's not going to take a quarterback and stick where they are, it's going to be Arizona because they got Kyler Murray, and now I think you want to give Kyler Murray weaponry. So if you're in position to take the best wide receiver in Marvin Harrison Jr., I find it hard to believe that you'd pass that up. So that's why I think it'll be a choice between Neighbors and Odunze.
I like it. Gentlemen, this was fun. Enjoy the draft.
Absolutely.
For Lance Beno and Howard Cross, I'm John Schmoe. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. Don't forget, if you want Giants tickets, season tickets, individual tickets, giants.com/tickets. You can become a season ticket member, a lot of benefits, so make sure you go to the website, check it out. And don't forget to find all of our content. Me and Paul Dottino put out some draft videos this week. We have our mock draft videos as well. All of our podcasts and shows like the Giants Huddle Podcast and Draft Season and Big Blue Kickoff Live, go to the Giants YouTube channel or go to Giants TV, the Giants streaming app, where you can find all of our video content as well. For Lance and Howard, I'm Schmelk. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:30 for another Big Blue Kickoff Live when Bob Papa joins me right here on set taking your calls. We'll see you then.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.